Welcome to the South Carolina Lead, a podcast that breaks down state political news for you and provides insight on legislative happenings under the Statehouse Dome in Columbia. Hello, I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode is for the week of January 29th, 2019. And it's also our 40th episode. Wow! The medicinal marijuana debate continues to rage in South Carolina, with advocates touting massive statewide support to legalize the drug for a handful of medical conditions, while opponents, especially law enforcement, say the conservative bill to allow prescription marijuana poses risks to the state. The Lead is a podcast where we go behind the headlines with the reporters who are at the stories affecting you. Every Tuesday, we give you a roundup of news, insight into the week's biggest stories, campaign trail intrigue, and a chaser of trivia. You can listen to all four sections. Instead of wondering what this Shaggy meme is about, is he some sort of benevolent god? I don't quite know. Should I avoid his gaze? Instagram, you're controlling our lives. Or instead of watching The Bachelor, when we all know you should be watching Lindsay Lohan Beach Club instead. And now, quorum call. Notice me, senpai! Quorum call is a term to see if there's a majority present, but here on the South Carolina Lead, we know a majority of the time that you're not always current with the news. So here's a quick recap of several top stories you should know about. Number one, the state newspaper reports that the replica Confederate battle flag taken down from the Statehouse grounds is finally on display at the State Confederate Relic Room and Military Museum. The modern nylon flag is now in a custom $1,400 frame alongside authentic Confederate battle flags and artifacts in the Gervais Street Museum. The legislation that removed the flag from the Statehouse lawn in 2015 stipulated that it be displayed with respect and in conjunction with other Confederate artifacts at the Confederate Relic Room. Number two, WCIV reports that the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control is disputing anecdotal reporting that suggests chlamydia is more prevalent in and around Charleston than other areas. Mount Pleasant Dr. Jennifer Miller said that when she's reported confirmed cases to DHEC, staffers have told her that there is a strain known as the Charleston strain. Based on DHEC reports, there is no indication that there is a Charleston strain of chlamydia. That's according to a DHEC spokesman. Number three, while Governor Henry McMaster's State of the State address rehashed several policies he's rolled out this month that we've covered here on this podcast, it's worth noting that he did take a tougher line on offshore drilling and exploration, something he's alluded to in the past. He said, quote, "We must stand firmly against all efforts to endanger the future of our pristine coastline, our beaches, our sea islands, our marshes, and our watersheds. Ladies and gentlemen, that means we will not have offshore testing or drilling off the coast of South Carolina." Quote, that line received heavy applause and a standing ovation from the lawmakers. And number four, the state newspaper reports that former South Carolina Department of Transportation Commissioner John Hardy has pled guilty to a federal felony charge. Details were scant, but Hardy agreed to plead guilty to a charge alleging he took part in a cover-up by trying to destroy evidence that could be used in an official proceeding. He could face up to 3 years in prison. And in a bonus quorum call item, check out Taken. It's a four-part series from the Greenville News this week about civil forfeiture. It's very interesting stuff and a story we will soon follow up on here with the team that reported on it. So get a head start and let us know if you have any questions via Twitter. And just like your New Year's resolution that you failed to keep up with, guys, it's not even February yet, we've buried the lead. For those of you looking for a State of the State recap, listen to our previous episodes and also check out the last episode of This Week in South Carolina. We pretty much got you covered there. Thank you. Last week, a group of law enforcement officials, medical professionals, politicians, and advocates held a press conference blasting proposed medicinal marijuana legislation. However, if you didn't listen closely, you might think the legislation this group was against was for recreational marijuana legalization, something that has no traction whatsoever in the state legislature. What does have traction is Republican Senator Tom Davis's bill, the Compassionate Care Act, that he's been working on for several years and says it would be one of the most strictly worded medicinal marijuana laws among the 33 states that have legalized the drug for medicinal use. To hash out where lawmakers are on this and what we could see happen this session is the Post and Courier's Andy Brown and South Carolina Public Radio's Russ McKinney. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Hey.
Like on all issues we discuss on the lead, we don't advocate one way or another. We just want you to know what's going on. So with that being said, we were all at this press conference last week where the state's top two law enforcement officials, Attorney General Alan Wilson and SLED Chief Mark Keel, slammed medicinal marijuana and made it sound like this could become recreational marijuana. Andy, is there a disconnect there? Was that maybe meant to kind of confuse the two different debates that we see going on in marijuana in the country at this time?
I think we should classify what their disapproval of this bill is. And from the SLED Chief's perspective, for instance, they're mostly concerned about the medical marijuana that, say, someone who does receive a permit to receive that marijuana, actually diverting it into the public to people who don't have it for a medical use. Now, that's kind of unfair, as Senator Davis pointed out, because his bill strongly regulates that. He has wording in there about the relationship between doctors and the patients, between doctors and the stores that would be selling this to people who are eligible, which you need a doctor's sign-off to get this medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. And it specifically says that if you are caught taking medical marijuana and diverting it into the public for recreational use, it's not a misdemeanor. It is a felony in South Carolina.
It's huge compared to current possession laws.
Right. And so while it's plausible, I guess, that people would take their medical marijuana and try to sell it, Senator Davis's bill very strictly takes that head on in trying to make sure that this is used for the proper purposes.
What was some of the biggest pushback you saw? I mean, obviously that diversion's a big part of it, but what's the biggest pushback that we got from that press conference? Was it medical? Was it law enforcement?
The medical community, they have a different argument, right? Their argument is that the FDA, the Federal Food and Drug Administration, which studies the use of prescriptions and other things that the public ingests, they argue that, well, marijuana itself hasn't been studied as a medical use. We don't know what the side effects are. We don't know what the long-term health effects are of continued use of marijuana. Mm-hmm. That's their argument. They specifically point out that they support continued research or increased research on marijuana and medical uses. They support the recently approved CBD oil, which is a byproduct of marijuana. Mm-hmm. And the FDA just approved that last year for the use of treating childhood seizures.
But you said that they can't even really study this as well because of its scheduling as a drug. So, I mean, and that's done by the DEA. So that kind of hamstrings their ability to say, hey, there are some benefits here possibly.
You look at the DEA's listing of a schedule. In DEA terms, is they rank drugs by whether or not they are likely to be abused or misused, and two, whether or not there is a medical purpose for that drug. So what's interesting is marijuana is a Schedule I, the highest listing of drug in the DEA's list, and below that are things like Oxycontin.
Opioids
in a Schedule II. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to step back and look at that schedule and go, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Considering we have one of the deadliest epidemics in the nation's history with prescription pain pills like opioids and, you know, more illicit drugs like fentanyl.
And the Medical Association was saying that they were in support of actually reclassifying that marijuana too.
Yes, they did. So they said they were looking to support dropping the DEA schedule from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2, allowing more research and more medical analysis on this. But the press conference wasn't that, right?
Yeah.
The Medical Association made their points in a more nuanced fashion, as I just described. But what came out were these law enforcement officers and Attorney General Alan Wilson and a mother, mm-hmm. I can't really remember her name right now, but essentially, as Senator Davis said, kind of fear-mongering mm-hmm. of what this is going to cause. The mother talked about her child needing treatment. She didn't say whether that was actually for marijuana, mm-hmm. but she seemed to be blaming it on marijuana. And then she talked about overdoses related to this. And I assume what she was talking about is maybe increased overdoses result from people using marijuana and then switching to a more illicit drug or opioids. But I have not – they didn't specifically cite their research on that.
And so, okay, so you brought that up, and I want to go into, like, one of the bigger headline moments of that press conference. I'm going to play a clip here, and that's from Attorney General Alan Wilson, who said that marijuana is the most dangerous drug, and he kind of gave a little bit of a reasoning behind why he said that.
Marijuana is the most consumed illicit drug in the United States of America. It is the most dangerous drug because it is the most misunderstood drug. It is still the most widely used drug of all the illicit drugs. It is the drug that teaches our children about all other drugs.
And Wilson also went on to list terms to describe being high. I'm not going to go over all 16 of them. But we can get to them in a minute. But following the press conference, Senator Tom Davis, who's the author of the medicinal marijuana bill, came out hard against Wilson for his characterization of the drug. So we're going to play that clip right now, too.
Think about that. It's like we've traveled in a time warp back to the 1950s, and we're doing a reshoot of Reefer Madness. I mean, who in the world can stand up there when we have an opioid epidemic, crack, cocaine, methamphetamines, and you can say that cannabis that's going to be authorized for use by doctors to patients, that that's the most dangerous drug in America? That's just simply divorced from reality.
Russ, those two clips were really pretty much illustrative of the whole debate going on at the State House. Is there some signs that there might be traction for this bill going forward in the Senate or in the House where there's, you know, there's two bills, and maybe that's why we're seeing such a big push?
Well, I think that's exactly what it is. I remember several years ago, Senator Davis standing at a podium alone touting the reason why he was supporting the Compassionate Care Act. He's picked up support every year. There's polling that shows a growing number of South Carolinians support it. A couple of weeks ago, Senator Davis was joined at the podium in support of the Compassionate Care Act by dozens of senators, House members, Republicans, Democrats, old and young, and clearly those who have problems with the bill. Obviously, since the support for the bill is to the point where it's beginning to
You're picking up steam. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that on the other side of the State House, you have Representative Peter McCoy. House Judiciary Chairman now, sitting and standing in support of this bill. You have a huge block of the Charleston delegation coming in support of this bill. You have last year, or tell me if I'm wrong here, I think it was 2018, you had a huge block of the Democratic voters in South Carolina say that they supported this type of initiative. It's tough, I think, if you are within this block of the SLED chief, Mark Keel, and the sheriff's associations and police associations who for decades have been policing marijuana, right? They've arrested people over it. They put them in jail. And now you're seeing medical marijuana come out, and obviously, there were also religious institutions. There was Baptist associations and other religious institutions in South Carolina who oppose this. And so what I think you're seeing is a fraying or a split within the Republican Party. Democrats, I believe, largely would support this type of thing. Maybe some of the older Democrats in the legislature would not. But what you're going to see, I think, that whether this bill passes or not is how much support they can get from Republicans. You have libertarian-minded people like Senator Davis who are all in on this, are ready to go. There are others, moderate forces like Peter McCoy, who just see it as the right thing to do for patients who are suffering from cancer or other serious illnesses in which the medical marijuana would possibly help them increase their appetite and alleviate some of the symptoms of their illnesses. I guess it depends on whether or not you can convince a large enough block of the Republican Party to get behind that.
Last year, the bill cleared subcommittee in the Senate for the first time. So they've got to go back that same route. This year, according to Senator Davis, he is going to chair that subcommittee, and he feels he stands a better chance than he has in the past of getting out of the full Senate Medical Affairs Committee. But as Andy alluded to, law enforcement, the medical association, those are pretty powerful forces. So while I think there's clearly growing support in the General Assembly, if those groups mobilize, as it appears they are, we're maybe headed to a real Donnybrook over this.
Well, I mean, we did see it get to the Senate floor last year, too, where it just kind of sat after it got medical affairs. But that's because, I mean, we do have a new chairman over medical affairs now, too, Danny Verdin. And he was saying that Verdin wants to get more of that testimony going forward to help kind of change some of these concerns that law enforcement has. And we even saw Davis say that, you know, he wants to maybe relook at the 2 ounces that are allowed under this, too. And that was something Alan Wilson brought up.
Oddly enough, you know, Alan, Attorney General, cited the number of joints that could be made out of 2 ounces of marijuana. I don't exactly know where he pulled that number from. But in any case, you know, Senator Davis is not stuck in his ways here. He's saying, if we want to have a debate, great, I'm ready to have a debate. Let's talk about how much we should allow someone who is allowed to, you know, use medical marijuana, how much they're allowed to use over a 2-week period. He's open to amending that, saying 1 ounce to make sure that less marijuana is out there, so less might be able to be diverted. But he's very frustrated with the fact that what they relied on was this is going to increase opioid overdoses. This is the most dangerous drug because it's most misunderstood. Alan Wilson was obviously frustrated after that press conference, saying that he didn't actually his spokesman called me and said they didn't actually literally mean that it's the most dangerous drug.
We played the clip.
Got frustrated with the reaction, and I think they didn't expect the public to react in a way that I think the public saw it as they might be a little out of touch.
When you start looking at what in 2017 there were 782 South Carolinians that died from prescription drugs, 748 from opioids, 235 dying from cocaine. Didn't see any numbers.
And
from
to
marijuana.
Be fair to Alan Wilson, he recognizes that epidemic. Yeah. He has sued pill manufacturers over their continual release and false advertising on that type of prescription pill. But it still struck a nerve in the public sphere whenever you go out there and attach the words most dangerous, no matter what the follow-up sentence was, to marijuana.
And we even heard from Sarah Goldsby, who's over, you know, DEOTIS. And she did say that 2.5 times the diagnosis of people on cannabis use disorder versus opioids. So obviously that there is some sort of issues there. It's the second most widely diagnosed addiction in the state is what she was saying, underneath alcohol. But at the same time, you have to look at, you know, the deaths that amount from this versus the non-existent deaths that amount from this, because there are none, versus some of these other more dangerous drugs like alcohol, like opioids.
I mean, we go back and you look at this bill. People who are suffering, say, going under chemotherapy and are suffering, they can go out and get marijuana right now in the illicit market.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that you can find marijuana in about any place in the country that you're at. So the question is whether people should be able to get it through a doctor's script where it's regulated, taxed, and that tax, according to Davis's bill, would go into actually part of it, if they receive enough revenue, would go into increasing research for medical marijuana. So the question is which would you rather have? Would you rather have parents of sick children going out and buying marijuana on the street from a dealer? Or would you rather have dispensaries set up where you can tax it and the doctors have a say over how much is prescribed and maybe give a little bit of insight into dosages? I know dosages with marijuana isn't exact, as the, you know, police and the medical association pointed out. But which is the better option, I guess?
And they, and there was, again, that kind of goes back to the confusion I felt like that was being sowed during that press conference about there's going to be dispensaries on every corner and there's going to be marketing to children. Davis completely, you know, blows that out and says, no, there's in no way is any of that going to be happening under this bill.
Listen, there's money involved in this. There's no doubt about that. There are businesses that have formed in other states that are going to come to South Carolina if this bill is passed. The question is whether that will have a harmful effect on society. The question remains open, I guess.
And Senator Davis feels that he is kind of systematically tried to address each one of those concerns over the last several years as they've been voiced by the medical community and particularly by law enforcement. So I think that's one reason he was actually somewhat offended at that news conference last week, that some of these things were made after he feels he's kind of been over backwards the last couple of years to accommodate their legitimate concerns.
Yeah, and we've seen this play out in those hearings over and over the past years, and it's just keeps getting rehashed, and then it feels like we get close to the finish line or maybe close to something moving on this, and then time runs out. But Russ, he did say that Senator Tom Davis did say that he's very optimistic that this bill could get to the governor's desks and get his signature, even though we've heard from McMaster before saying that he's not a big fan of medicinal marijuana.
He's extremely optimistic about his chances this year, and he seems to think for some reason the governor may, at the end, sign it into law. However, if you go back to the news conference, there were several members of the governor's cabinet were there speaking against the act, the Compassionate Care Act, so I don't think we really know where we are on that right now.
But the governor was not.
Correct. Yeah.
So maybe Senator Davis has more insight into Henry McMaster's thinking on medical marijuana than we do, but who knows?
In October, we did hear the governor say, it is the consistent opinion of law enforcement that it would be a detriment to society, to law enforcement, to open the door to that. Now, when law enforcement is satisfied that it can be controlled, that's a different story. So, Andy, kind of going out here, what is it going to take for law enforcement to be satisfied at this point?
I don't know. I read the bill this morning. There is a lot of specific language in there about how people receive the card to be able to be a medical marijuana recipient, how the doctors prescribe it, how the stores are conducted, and essentially whether or not the drug can be diverted. I don't know how much more Senator Davis could do to appease the law enforcement community. I think at the end of the day, they're just never going to be satisfied with it.
Mm-hmm. Invest any idea about what we might see going forward with this bill?
No, I think you're right. We're going to hear those same arguments we've been hearing year after year. It's going to say we'll have to see just how far it can go this year.
Because we did see a bill in the House also kind of get on the floor too with some movement there. But that was in May 2018. Yeah. We saw it kind of get stuck in the Senate too.
Someone say to me the other day, you know, after that the story of the press conference ran, they were like, you know, South Carolina is going to be 50th whenever it comes to this. All the other states in the country, and I had to remind them that Mississippi and West Virginia might still be up there. So who knows? But you know. Some people who see this as a benefit are kind of frustrated and seeing South Carolina as behind the times. But
can we say maybe some potential decriminalization of marijuana, or is this just going to be is medicinal, you think, probably just the forefront?
Well, I mean, medicinal, it serves obviously. There's a very real passion there because, you know, young children are suffering from diseases. Mm-hmm. I don't think South Carolina has any appetite to say, hey, we're opening up dispensaries. Everybody come get your marijuana. It's just not going to happen anytime soon.
Gotcha. Well, a very interesting insight. And again, one of the other issues that we'll be watching this legislative session, because it does have a lot of pros and cons, a lot of people involved in this debate. And like we said, one of the bigger press conferences that we've seen at the State House involving the medicinal marijuana debate. Thank you, Andy Brown with the Post and Courier and Russ McKinney with South Carolina Public Radio for giving us some insight on medicinal marijuana.
Thanks.
Thanks.
It's that time again for some campaign trail news updates. Again, we're looking at the latest in 2020 related movements affecting South Carolina, state campaign news, and highlights from the state's congressional delegation. Leading off, the Greenville News reports that State Representative Dwight Loftus won the Republican primary for the state Senate District 6 seat, which was previously occupied by now Congressman William Timmons. Loftus received 55% of the vote, defeating Greenville City Councilwoman Amy Ryberg Doyle and Jeffrey Stringer. Now, Loftus will face Democrat Tina Belge in the special election on March 26. Loftus is 75 and has served in the State House of Representatives since 1996. Looking to Congress, The Hill reports that new tensions are flaring on the Senate Judiciary Committee over plans by its new committee chairman, Lindsey Graham, to dig into Obama-era scandals. Graham wants to probe the FBI's handling of its investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act FISA warrant applications, targeting former Trump campaign aide Carter Page. 2020 presidential contender and California Senator Kamala Harris was in Columbia on Friday evening to attend the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Gala. I was there with some other journalists, but didn't hear much from the senator in her very brief remarks to the thousands that gathered for a night of dinner and dancing. And former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley tweeted last Friday, when the shutdown was still going on, that, quote, Republicans and Democrats need to get in a room and not leave or get paid until they reach a resolution. This is dysfunctional and embarrassing at best, end quote. We don't know if it made a difference, but the shutdown did end shortly after this. Coincidence?
Ooh.
We'll see what happens over the next 3 weeks. In our final section, Did You Know?, we focus on one quirky function of state politics or government. It's named after the parliamentary procedure lawmakers use when speaking to each other. And did you know that South Carolina Public Radio's Russ McKinney is back with some more great state trivia? Well, he is. And we just had Russ on the main discussion, so he's back now with some trivia. Double dose of Russ this week.
Double dose. Glad to be here. A little change of pace this week.
Ah.
Knowing what a avid outdoorsman you are, hunter. Fisherman, kind of thought maybe we'd go a little different.
Hell yeah!
everyone is familiar with the salmon and how they spawn upriver, especially along the Pacific coast. Did you know that there is a species of fish that does the same in South Carolina's coastal rivers?
Mm.
And right about Super Bowl time is the time a lot of fishermen start to get excited about the possibility of fishing as these fish begin to spawn upriver.
I'm one of them. I'm one of those fishermen that look forward to those moments. That's why I actually usually take a whole week off.
Well, this particular species of fish, they're born in freshwater, they migrate to the ocean, and then they come back up rivers like the Savannah, the Cooper, the Santee, to spawn. And it's usually right after Christmas time this is kind of peak time all the way through March or so. So it's exciting time for a lot of anglers in the state. So the question is, which fish are spawning in some of South Carolina's coastal rivers at this time of year? A red drum. B, saltwater catfish. C, a shad. D, a black sea bass.
I feel brackish. I feel brackish on all of this.
Well, you should. Saltwater catfish.
But they don't spawn. I mean,
this
they
species
do.
Actually.
Okay.
In fact, the Santee Cooper has constructed helpful dams along the way around the Santee River at St. Stephen and Pinopolis to allow those fish to spawn.
Black sea bass, feel like that's pretty specific to sea. Red drum, I feel like it's like drums running. I think shad might. Saltwater catfish, I feel like you're really messing with us there. I mean, I'm sure, yeah. I know catfish are pretty much everywhere because they're disgusting creatures, but they're delicious. But I don't think that they're actually spawning and swimming upstream because catfish are just too lazy to do anything besides just bottom feed all day.
Could be.
Apologies to our catfish contingent. Red drum, I just feel like that's just going to be out in the water. I'm not really up on shad. Is that what it is? Am I saying it correctly?
Shad. I think the full name is American shad.
God bless you, shad. I'm gonna go with the shad.
And you are correct.
Yes! Obviously, I'm a big angler. I mean, no surprise there.
The American shad, it's found in most rivers along the Atlantic seaboard. It was very popular in colonial times. In fact, it's been described as the fish that fed America's founders.
Wow, fish that fed America's founders.
Yeah, considered to be a real delicacy by many. And shad roe is considered to even be more of a delicacy by fewer.
And the American shad can be found in bars near you. Awesome, Russ. Let's go fishing one of these days, or just go get some fried catfish. Thanks.
Now you know about shad, Bo.
The South Carolina Lead is one of many ways SCETV wants to help keep you informed. Check out the latest news and live streams on scetv.org, listen to coverage from South Carolina Public Radio, and watch This Week in South Carolina, a show where I talk with the newsmakers of the week on SCETV every Friday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. All of that, this podcast, and more is available on SCETV's super easy-to-use app and scpublicradio.org. Subscribe to us, and we'll have a new episode for you every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts. Search us easily on your Android, the NPR One app, or wherever you find podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at @SCLEDEPOD, where you can find photos from the studio, on assignment, and of course, our dank memes. We're also on Twitter with the same handle at @SCLEDPOD. We have swag, sticker swag, that is. Send us a direct message on Twitter or Instagram with your address, and we'll send one your way. Also, email questions, comments, or your gripes to scled@scetv.org. The South Carolina Lead is produced in partnership with South Carolina ETV, South Carolina Public Radio, and a special thanks to the Post and Courier. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Sean Birch is our supervising producer. Tom Posey is our executive producer. This episode was recorded and produced in South Carolina Public Radio's studios here in Columbia on January 28, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. Thanks for listening. Secret message. Golden boy Tommy Terrific wins the big game, gets one for the thumb, brings it home to New England with a win over the Rams, the team with no fans. Notice me, senpai.